Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Betcha the Home Run Derby in baseball is a better field of competitors than in years past.
They're going to offer $1 million for the winner, yes?
Winner gets $1 million. That might keep people from saying no thank you. Grant and Danny, final hour, 106.7 The Fan. It's also the biggest hour today. In the next three segments, we'll be joined by Landon Collins, now of the Redskins, and Brett Connolly of the Capitals. Collins in 15 minutes at 1:20. Let's take you around the NFL. We'll start off with Antonio Brown, introduced in Oakland with the Raiders yesterday. Says he's going to be accountable to his new team, and he wants to lead by example.
I bring accountability. You know, I bring actions. You know, not what I say, what I do. You know, how I approach things. You know, holding guys accountable in the receiver room, developing a part. You know, challenging guys. If we drop a ball, you know, we're gonna have a part. Just super accountability. You know, a whole, you know, maybe at the end of practice when I'm doing my jug machine, you know, bring the whole group over to see the jug machine. That way every guy in the group know, hey, we count on you to make that catch. You know, I'm there watching you work, making that catch too, because when we all there, we there together.
I wonder if they play a Week 17 game they need to win to get into the playoffs, if he'll show up for it or not.
We have different definitions of accountability. Now, when he actually does work,
he works his ass off.
There aren't harder workers.
Yeah.
So it's one of those weird dichotomies where to get to the point that he was the best receiver in the NFL, nobody outworked that guy. Nobody. In the locker room, on his own team, or in other 32 cities. Nobody did. But when it comes to accountability, guys aren't AWOL Week 17. They're literally, absent without leave. No one knew where he was because he didn't respond to things that didn't show up.
Just didn't come to work when they were trying to get into the playoffs. Granted, he wasn't saying he was accountable in Pittsburgh. He's just saying he's going to be now.
He's going to be now.
He's happy. But he's been there for a few days, and he hasn't asked for a raise yet. So I guess all is well with the world. Here was Brown on why he wanted to be a Raider.
Mr. Gruden played everything in my decision with coming here. Obviously, he's an offensive guru. You get excited just talking with him. He got so much knowledge of the game. He's coached some of the greatest players ever. So he knows what it takes. You know, he's done been around the game from in the game, outside the game, and his knowledge is so amazing. He did his homework on me. He done seen every play I played in, every interception. He got the details. He's a highly professional guy. Always make sure you're highly prepared. He cover every variables when he study players.
Antonio Brown seems to like John Gruden a whole lot. Gruden's going to count on Brown to make him look better this season in his second year with the Raiders.
You have a great imagination as a football coach when you coach a man like this. He can play split end. He can play flanker. He can play in the slot. He can return punts and sell popcorn at halftime. We're excited about this guy. And we're going to put him to good work. And he's got his whole army here with him. And he's got Otto and Ali. And I'm going to get all Apollo. I'm going to get all these young Browns to work here, too. But just the life that he has, his enthusiasm to play is contagious. And when we signed Antonio Brown, you would be shocked at how many other players have wanted to come along with them. It's really been a really great experience.
John Gruden is super entertaining. They went and got him from the TV booth, and they went and got Mike Mayock from the TV booth. The general manager was at the dais yesterday as well. He said they didn't have to think twice about bringing in Antonio Brown.
When all of a sudden we realized we might have an opportunity to compete for his services, it changed everything. And I think when you get a chance to, you've heard John talk about passion and love for the game. You've heard me talk about it. Both of us have watched this guy compete and play at a, if he sustains it at a Hall of Fame level, okay? And he's in the prime of his career. There's nobody in better shape. And when John and I had that first conversation in Vegas about potentially trading for the rights to Antonio Brown, there was no hesitation. It was all about, both of us thought his play spoke for itself, but even more importantly, what it would do in the locker room and the energy around the building.
How do you think that power structure actually works? In other words, I see that if you've got John Gruden, and John Gruden's, man, go get me Antonio Brown, man. Mike Mayock says, okay. Like, do you think it's that way, or is it Mike Mayock saying, John, we're going to go get Antonio Brown.
Zero chance.
Right?
No, John Gruden runs that show. I think Mike Mayock is there to basically run their draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in things like this, as the general manager, obviously you're going to have a say. They want to know what he thinks. But I think if John Gruden and him disagree, they'll do what John Gruden wants.
That's sense
He's
I
got
too.
The 10-year, $100 million contract. I don't even think that there's a debate. One of those guys is 10 and 100. The other is Mike Mayock.
I guess who's 10 and 100, man? Me and John and all the other guys, man. Yeah, when he's going like he was going, he's like, A, B, and I don't know. I'm like, let's put Gruden or Caliendo. It sounds like someone doing a John
Which
Gruden.
Which one bet. Is it? Kyler Murray, pro day yesterday, slinging the football around, didn't want to be measured again. He did not let his height be taken. He did weigh in 205 pounds, down a couple pounds, and he didn't run either. He's not going to run. Why not be measured?
I mean, I went to the NFL Combine, got measured. They're supposed to be, I mean, they're the, you know, the best of the best. They do everything right. That's what they got me at. That's what it is. I don't know why I would need to do it again. Or, you know, I don't really listen to everybody or what they say outside. I mean, kind of heard everybody saying that it's made up or whatever. But, I mean, if that's the case, then they're questioning the NFL's credibility, which I wouldn't. But, you know, I think they got it right.
Kyler Murray knows that his name is being linked to the Arizona Cardinals. Whether they pick first or somebody else, there's a real good chance he could be the first player chosen.
I think, you know, every kid wants to go number one or dreams of going number one in the draft. Before the combine, I was, you know, kind of mid, you know, 13 or 15 or whatever, mid first round. And then when I leave, it's like everybody's, you know, you're going first. Like, it's kind of, everybody can say that, but at the end of the day, I can't approach it that way. Going in with the same mindset of, you know, just whatever happens, happens. And, you know, just grateful to be here. You know, I just got to work hard and just prove myself at the next level. But if I do go number one, that, you know, it'd be pretty special.
100% agree with him, by the way, from the previous clip on not getting measured in height again. Well, nothing's changed since a couple weeks ago. The unbiased authorities measured his height and his weight. Oh, fine. Okay. Leave that alone. I'm annoyed he didn't run. Are you annoyed he didn't run at all?
No, because he's so fast. It doesn't matter. I mean, what is he going to run? A bad time? 4-1?
I'm mostly annoyed because I want to know what the time is.
Yeah, well,
it's really a selfish thing. It's selfish. I wanted to see him run. By the way, because that's the thing he does so damn well.
Yeah.
Do the things you do well. You threw it well because you could throw it well.
If
run.
I'm annoyed, I'm just kind of annoyed with how he's treated the entire process.
I just want the information.
As if he's kind of bigger than the process.
You know,
I don't need to do that. Yeah. I don't need to do that either. I don't need to tell you if I'm playing football. I kind of like baseball. No, I don't anymore. Brett Connolly in about 25 minutes. Landon Collins will be on the show next at 1:20. The Redskins safety right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hoping to catch up with Landon Collins in just a couple of minutes. The new Redskins safety brought over from New York. Signed to a massive contract as a marquee free agent addition. The biggest free agent addition the Redskins have made. Really, in several years. I mean, Josh Norman, which was not at the beginning of the free agency period.
Right, it was late?
Released late in the game after he had originally had a franchise tag placed on him and Washington won a little bit of a bidding war with New Orleans. So you could put him in that conversation in terms of the very high-priced, top-of-the-market free agents that have been brought over to D.C. But outside of Norman, when you're talking about the amount of money guaranteed, the amount of big picture cash to Landon Collins potentially in this deal over the duration of the contract. It's a deal the likes of which the Redskins have not made that many of. And to get to that point, it took somebody very special. He's 25 years old. He's been in the league for 4 years. He's a three-time Pro Bowler who was a first-team All-Pro. The Redskins have not had an All-Pro at any point in the 2000s. We've been in them for almost 20 years at this point. They jumped at the possibility of upgrading a position where they're probably more desperate right now and have been over the last 10 years than anywhere else.
The last time Collins played in a defense that looks similar to what Washington has right now in terms of a good group up front, a couple cornerbacks that, you know, I think are overall net positives, not necessarily world beaters, but I would say better than maybe average. He turned in one of the great safety years over the last decade. He was a superstar. 5 interceptions and 125 tackles combined. He also sacked the quarterback 4 times, by the way. Used all over the field. He was a Polamalu-like player for that year, meaning you didn't know where he was going to be, you didn't know what to expect from him, but you got a bunch of big plays. Had that touchdown return in there as well, defended 13 separate passes. to put it together, you add up all those counting kind of stats, right? A, with the tackles, because he's a sure tackler and he's very good at that. He's physical enough. B, with those 13 passes defended, it tells you he's all over the football field. Mm-hmm. It tells you the quarterbacks aren't really sure where old Landon Collins is going to be. The Redskins have a similar structure. Now, granted, it's a 43 compared to a 34, but bear with me. You've got pretty decent guys up front, and if you let Landon Collins roam because you've got other players that can be accountable and maybe stay at home, that's a weapon for you. That's an asset like they have not had.
He's considered a box safety by a lot of people, and when we talked earlier with Will Blackman, who's a super smart dude who played corner and safety in the league, including here in Washington, his point was, you know, a lot of people just get called a box safety and treated as if they're a fourth linebacker. And last year specifically, Landon Collins did spend a ton of time near the line of scrimmage. But the question about Landon Collins is whether or not he is going to be able to provide more in the back end of the secondary, playing either deep center field, ranging around in space. And Blackman told us from watching Collins, he absolutely thinks that's something he can do. You mentioned the 13 PBUs back in 2016. He broke up 6 more passes in 17 and 4 more last year and 9 as a rookie. He's been very active against the passes, as much as helping out against the run. I just think that's his strength. That's where he excels. Now, he missed the final stretch of last season, weeks 14 to 17. But really, that was the first time he had to deal with any kind of an injury of any length in his career. Prior to that 4-game stretch, he had missed one game in basically 3 3/4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some durability there that you got to like. There were a lot of questions, remember, coming out of college at Alabama, you know, about him being able to play deep in the secondary. And he answered all those questions right away in New York with that banner 112 tackle rookie season. And we are joined right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by the newest Redskin and a player who's brought a lot of excitement in the last couple of days to Washington, D.C., Landon Collins. Landon, you're on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks so much for the time. How does it feel to be joining the old division rival here in Washington? You're now a Redskin.
It's an honor. I appreciate y'all having me on. Honestly, it's a dream come true just to be here, just to walk in the doors that my idol has been to. It's unbelievable. It's a very emotional time for me. Just trying to really take it all in. I was chilling in my bed in Miami, and just knowing I got to sign or be a part of an organization like this is tremendous.
Landon, are you surprised at how it ended in New York? I mean, a guy with your resume just sort of being allowed to walk away to a division rival for you know, to see him twice a year and get some revenge, which will be delightful for myself and every other Redskins fan. Are you surprised at the way it ended?
We were sitting here saying, why wouldn't he have been franchise tagged? How does a guy like that get to leave? Should we be worried about
something? Because it shouldn't be happening. You shouldn't be available, but thank goodness you are.
Thank you. I was very surprised. Going through the process, it was something I was like, am I going to be here? Am I not? And then after kind of a couple of days going by, after the season went by, after the Super Bowl went by, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be here, because we constantly didn't get any information back, no kind of talks, anything like that. So we was like, I'm probably going to hit the free agency. So I took it as an opportunity to go somewhere that I was definitely needed, wanted, and somebody definitely was going to love me. Not saying that the Giants didn't love me and the organization didn't want me or anything like that. It's just this didn't work out.
Well, they didn't want you as much as the Redskins did, and that's why Landon Collins is now in Washington. So take us through how this played out. Before the draft, you publicly said, and back then Redskins fans were all worked into a lather, that you wanted to play for the Skins. Obviously, you grew up idolizing Sean Taylor. So were they the first team to contact you on Monday during that legal tampering period, and how quickly did it get serious between you and them? Were they the only team at the end that really was vying for you? How did that all work?
I have to ask my agent more about that. Happy that they were the team coming to get me, and we worked out a deal to get here. And from that standpoint, it was amazing. It was plenty of teams. There was, I think, 3 other teams that was coming after me. And I remember I was talking to Ryan and John, and they was like, bro, we want you, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get me. And they did. And now I'm here, and it's like I said, it's very emotional for me just being here.
Ryan Anderson, John Allen, members of the defense who obviously played
nice
at
connection.
Alabama as the Redskins are trying to reunite a couple of the national championship teams from Alabama in the NFL now. So that was good for the recruiting. Did you talk to Greg Minuski or Dan Snyder or Jay Gruden, or was it just your agent talking to Eric Schaefer and kind of the adult, so to speak, hammering out the money details?
I honestly let the team handle, I mean, my team handle it. David talking to Mr. Snyder, and they handle business. So I kind of stayed out of it. I just kind of talking with my guys, John and Ryan and Sean, and I was just talking to those guys and just seeing what happens. They were just telling me, they were filling my head up and stuff like that. I was like, we're going to see.
New Redskins safety Landon Collins is with us. And Landon, I'm not just saying this because you're on with us. I said it when you became a free agent. I said it before you jumped on this segment. I think you're a baller. I think you are a star in this league, and you shouldn't be available, but thank goodness that you are. What do people have wrong about you when it comes to your abilities on the football field? I look at that 2016 season, and I say, if that's the ceiling, that guy should never be available. He should be signed for life. What do people have kind of a misconception about you and your game?
My 2016 season is not the ceiling. I promise you that. I got way more to go. People don't understand that I can cover, but they see the plays that other tight ends or somebody catches that I was not my. It wasn't my job. I just happened to be in the area to make the tackle, make the play. On top of that, so from that standpoint, I have to showcase something else again, and I love doing that. I love proving people wrong. I love showing that I am that guy.
This box safety thing that we keep hearing. Suddenly, yeah. This has become like a negative.
It's
right?
Like it's a like, game manager at quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
People
I
complain
want a quarterback
about that.
Who can manage the game?
Please manage my game.
You play at the line of scrimmage. You make a ton of plays occasionally. Most safeties are interchangeable. Mm-hmm. You're on the back end. You're trying to defend the pass. When you hear box safety, what do you think? Is it fair to say you're better off at the line of scrimmage than playing deep?
I could play all over the field. Point blank. Period. That's what a safety does, and that's what I can do, and that is my job occupation. Now, I will do whatever the team asks me to do, and that's what the team asks me to do at those particular times.
Landon, as you look around this roster, a lot of familiar faces. You mentioned Ryan Anderson, John Allen, mm-hmm. Guys like Deron Payne, a lot of Alabama connection here. Where do you think you fit into this defense, and how will you best be utilized in your mind?
I'm not going to be used like very well. The defensive scheme, which I was literally just in the office talking with Greg and them for about a good 30 minutes and just going through it. And we was kind of just going back and forth, picking each other's head. And it was cool. It was like second nature. So I think I'm going to fit in very well. We have a great defensive front that's going to eat. So that's going to make the back end 10 times easier. And that's how you make plays. That's how it works hand to hand. Your front line, your defensive line, eat. Your linebackers eat. Your secondary eat. But it all starts with the defensive front.
Landon Collins, 4 seasons in the NFL, 3 Pro Bowls, and 1 first-team All-Pro. A Redskin has not been named a first-team All-Pro since 1996, and that was punter Matt Turk. Collins will try to break that streak here in Washington. You get to play the Giants twice, including your boy Saquon Barkley, and some of the mm-hmm. other talents that they've got. OBJ is obviously gone, so you don't get to hit him in the middle of the field. But yeah. What's that going to be like?
It's gonna be great. Saquon know about me. definitely love to play against that organization. They kind of know me and know my ordeal, so it's gonna be cool. Now the Redskins have the game plan against me. The Giants do. So we gonna see how that goes, and I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a heck of a game, and yes. If you want to ask, yes, the game is circled on my calendar.
Is there something that you want to improve on at this stage of your career? You said you're going to prove it, and you haven't reached your ceiling yet. I'm all in favor of that, by the way. What's kind of the next step for you? You've already pretty established, already a pretty good resume here, Landon. What's your next step in growth, do you think?
Yeah, that's the word. It's a pretty good resume. I need an awesome resume. That's the goal. I need to be just – I want to continue being a game changer, continue making plays that's that one inch that a team needed that takes your breath away and gives us that W, you know? So that's my biggest thing, is just being a game-changing player and continue doing that.
Landon Collins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Couple more moments with the Redskins' brand-new safety. He'll be introduced to the D.C. media at 2 o'clock in 30 minutes. Landon, when it comes to this secondary right now, it's kind of still a work in progress being patched together. What's your relationship like with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? The Redskins obviously are trying to bring him back. He's visiting Chicago. But it would be another safety from Alabama and a guy who finished the year here last year.
Yeah, me and Ha-Ha, we go all the way back to Bama days. We like brothers. We talk to each other all the time. He gets on me. I get on him. It works hand in hand. We keep each other accountable, and I know I can count on him if he's behind me. You know, so that's a big idea, and I hope we can get him back. I'm working on it just as the guys that was here working on me. I'm doing the same thing, recruiting, basically.
I saw that you posted a picture of it. It looked like a signed Sean Taylor jersey. It looks like maybe Dan Snyder gave you. You have talked in the past about how much you idolize Taylor. If you want to go into that, feel free to. But how did that jersey, that gift, come about, and when were you presented that?
So last night was at DC Prime, the steak restaurant, and there was a box on the table. As I walked in, he said, "That's for you." So I thought I was about to open it right then and there. He said, "No, no, not yet. I want your mom and son and your girl and to be here." So I said, "All right, cool." So all my family gets there, right? So I was like, "All right, so can't open the box now." So I'm pushing the issue to try to get open the box. It was in the box. It was the box. So I asked my son, "Do you want to open the box?" He said, "Yeah." So Mr. Snyder stood up and told me the deal behind the box, what was inside the box. So he gave me the feeling, the passion. You could feel it in the talk, that why he felt so strongly about the jersey that was in the box. And as soon as he finished his story about his love, his story behind Sean and the brotherhood, if you could say fatherlyhood, it was breathtaking. It was emotional. And when he told me that the jersey was in the box, signed by Sean Taylor, it was a game-worn jersey. And then on top of that, it was one of his last two that he has of Sean. It took my breath away. It broke me down. I was emotional. Couldn't touch the box when he handed it to me. I didn't want to touch the box. I couldn't move a limb. I couldn't do nothing. I was just shaking, all right? So my son grabbed the box and started opening it and ripping up the papers that was in it and took the jersey out. I couldn't touch the jersey. I was just in awe. I was emotional, in tears. It took me about a good 30 minutes to really recuperate. And at that moment, I still didn't touch the jersey after I recuperated. I couldn't eat at the moment. I'm just looking at the jersey, staring. And it was honor. And I appreciate that from Mr. Snyder. And honestly, I thank him for it. And I see that he knows, and I think he knows that I honor that jersey, and I'm going to just do as much as I can and be as much as I can within myself, but manipulate Sean's game and passion for him and for myself when I can play on this field.
That's just awesome. I love that story. Landon, quickly, would you wear number 21? Is that something that you think you could and should do?
It'd be an honor, definitely. Some big shoes to fill. I know a lot of people have their ups and downs about it, but if the family will allow me to, it won't be a day or anything when I step on the field that it won't be the same or a duplicate on that field.
Landon Collins of the Redskins on Grant and Danny. Well, it's awesome having you on the show, man. Really appreciate you. Thanks so much, and enjoy the day. I know you got a press conference coming up in 30 minutes.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks,
you
Landon.
Bet.
Welcome. Congrats,
Landon,
buddy.
Collins on Grant
Thank
and Danny.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet, man. Good luck. 106.7 The Fan. Seemed very likable. I like him. Honest.
I'm in. I can't help it. Mock me all you want. Offseason this or that. I am a Landon Collins mark. I am.
And you heard him say if the family would be okay with him wearing the number 21, he would wear Sean Taylor's number to honor the late Sean Taylor.
Very
wow.
Cool.
Brett Connolly is scheduled to join us from the Capitals coming up in just a few minutes. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you missed Landon Collins on the show, you're going to want to hear that interview. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio is where we podcast our segments after we're done at 2 o'clock. He's being introduced to the media at 2, a little over 20 minutes from now at Redskins Park. So you'll be able to listen to that press conference right here on The Fan. A couple of things to take out of that conversation. He does not believe he's a box safety. He knows that he played a lot in the box, but says that's because that's what he was asked to do. He said, I could play anywhere on the football field. He also made no bones about wanting to play the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, when players sign new deals, how many times have you heard a guy say, oh, it's just another game, I'm not overly worried about it? We didn't even ask him specifically, are you circling on the calendar? He says, and if you're curious, if you want to ask me, yes, the game is circled on my calendar.
Oh, please circle it. Let's all hate the Giants again. Let's get back to hating Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor and Phil Sims and Phil McConkey and Mark Bavaro. Hate them. He will help with that.
If he was on our show for, I don't know, let's say 10 minutes, 11 minutes.
Okay.
Three of those minutes were him telling a story that I think, based on Twitter at least, Redskins fans loved and had them emotional.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder giving Landon Collins a present at DC Prime last night, a box, a signed Sean Taylor jersey, one of the two remaining game-used Sean Taylor jerseys that Dan Snyder owns, from one of his final couple of games with the Redskins. He presented it to Collins, signed, as Collins sets to embark on this six-year, $84 million contract with Washington. Collins saying he broke down after being presented the gift that Dan Snyder, while talking about Sean Taylor, got very emotional while presenting the jersey. That was incredible. And finally, you've got this little gem. We kind of both said on the show there's no way Landon Collins would want to wear number 21. There's no way that he'd want to have to live up to those expectations. Every time you have a bad game, you're going to have fans upset at you. I would say that it's very much a possibility in that it might be up to the family. Here's what Landon Collins said when we asked him about wearing number 21. He said, it would be an honor. Those would be big shoes to fill. A lot of people have their ups and downs about it, meaning clearly there's mixed emotions. He said, if the family would allow me to, and he went on to say that he would wear the jersey and he would make them very proud. He said that not a game would go by where I wouldn't be a duplicate on the field, meaning reminding them of Sean Taylor.
Because, again, this, because you, even though it's something I don't get worked up about, you know, it's either a retired number, it's not, it's a jersey. At the end of the day, someone's got to wear a number. But I know that it means a lot to a lot of people. So I'm not just going to be stubborn about it and put my blinders on. I recognize that there's a lot of significance attached to that. He gets that significance. You know what I mean? And that speaks well to him. I think just, you know, thinking outside of himself, you know, I don't have a good analogy kind of elsewhere in sports, but he gets that this isn't just another jersey. He gets that this isn't like some guy that was good in the 30s, you know, before they invented the forward pass. This is somebody that means a lot, a ton to this fan base still, rightfully so, and to so many football players, young ones, especially, who grew up watching that guy do things that people hadn't really done before. So I thought that was a wonderful answer.
I was against Landon Collins wearing the jersey number 21 before that interview. Not because it was him, necessarily. Just because I thought the wounds are still kind of fresh. It's probably not time. That's a retired number, so to speak. I actually think he should wear the number, to be honest with you. I absolutely do. I think he reveres Taylor enough. I think there's a respect for the player. I think it would be done in such a warm, pleasant way. And look, at some point, presumably someone's going to wear 21 again. Maybe they could retire it forever. I don't know that they have to, though. I think this is the perfect time to kind of re-release that number and have Landon Collins be the guy to reintroduce it to this fan base. If he can be who he was in 2016, a year that you said was his ceiling, and then he said, that's not my ceiling, I got more football than that, just wait. I hope he's right, by the way, because 2016 was one of the best years I've seen a safety have in a while.
Saying if that's your ceiling, then that person should never be available.
Right.
If someone can do that, that person should never leave the team that he's on.
I want him to wear it. I really do. I'm surprised that I feel that way after that interview. I think hearing the emotion he had about getting the jersey from Dan Snyder told me everything I needed to know about how much he cares about Sean Taylor.
And he gets it.
He absolutely does. But also, he's so important to this defense. This is such a big splash acquisition. He's going to be vital to whatever they become in the next few seasons, whether that's with Jay Gruden or somebody else. If he's great, their defense just got a ton better. Not surprisingly, by the way, He was recruited heavily by Ryan Anderson and Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
Don't be surprised at all that Jonathan Allen was one of those guys. Ryan Anderson's kind of a jag outside linebacker, so good to see him working for this team. And maybe that's his best contribution as a Redskin
so far. As a recruiter,
so far,
right? Yeah.
Recruiting. But you heard him say he wants HaHa Clinton Dix here. Those are boys that get on each other. That's another reason why I kind of would not be that adamant against bringing back HaHa Clinton Dix. They've played together. You heard him say, we're really hard on each other. We bring the best out of each other. I think safety is one of those positions where you want to be on the same page.
Yeah, guys, work
on
a string a little bit.
There's something to be said for that.
No, there certainly is. Again, I prefer anybody else that plays safety in the NFL to Clinton Dix. But listen, if sort of the cascade effect of Landon Collins' goodness would help somebody, then I guess that's all fine and dandy. I just want those guys to have that kind of rapport. It's like a second base shortstop combo in baseball, or a the center and the two guards, and on the offensive line, the communication has to be great, and it just becomes second nature the more you do it. And if you got some familiarity, that can only help.
Their defense is still just beginning to be built, but you need stars, and you finally have one on the back end of this secondary. I also loved his answer when we were talking about why the Giants give up on you. He didn't really have a good answer. He was very classy and professional and respectful. But he even said he didn't know he was going to be free until the last minute. Because remember, there was a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Mike Garofolo, about a week before free agency, said Landon Collins was going to hit the market. In fact, you and I, the day we were broadcasting from Nats Park a couple weeks back, had the original report that had come out that he might be a free agent, and if so, he might have interest in the Redskins. Then it came out 2 days before free agency, the Giants were going to keep him. And so everyone kind of took him off their boards in the media as to safeties that were going to get a lot of money. And next thing you know, the Giants made it public that he was going to hit free agency and he wasn't going to get franchise tagged. I still don't know why they wouldn't have. It does give me a little bit of pause. But maybe you could just look at some of their other decisions, which have been very curious, and say, you know what? I'm not that concerned about them letting him go, because it's not like everything they've done has been the act of brilliance.
Yeah, their context clues illustrate a team that do not know what they're doing. Eli Manning is going to make his $18, $19 million again next year, and by the way, become the highest career earner in the history of the NFL. He's going to pass Peyton, which is crazy, but he's done it, been doing it for a long time, so he's going to earn the most money. They are half rebuilding, half not sure what they're doing. This is a really good player they're letting walk away, and I would trust them more if everything else was savvy. It's not. What they've done lately is not savvy. Again, they couldn't figure out what to do with Eli Apple. He went and immediately thrived with the Saints. They couldn't figure out what to do with Olivier Vernon. They traded him for a guard for some reason. Not a draft pick, a guard. So I don't know. To me, the Redskins made out like a bandit here.
I think so, too. Guylo Ren, one of our good pals on Twitter and a listener to the show, says, I'm sorry, but I heard this same stuff from Sua Cravens, HaHa Clinton Dix, DJ Swearinger.
I know.
Meaning that they all loved Sean Taylor. They all get what he meant to D.C. Just leave the jersey alone, please. So he does not want him to wear number 21. Here's the difference. None of those guys were all pros. None of those guys finished a season the best safety in the NFL. There is a potential and a possibility with him that didn't exist with any of those other players. Swearinger, frankly, exceeded my expectations immensely, particularly in the first half of last year when he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. But those other guys, Sua Cravens is a kid from the draft in the second round who's kind of a linebacker. Now, HaHa Clinton Dix was traded in the middle of the season for a fourth-round pick. By the way, I don't know if this is surprising to you or not, but I think this speaks to how divisive might be too negative a connotation, but how hard to really firm up an answer on this Redskins fans are going to have. 208 votes so far on should Landon Collins wear number 21. 50% say wear it.
Mm-hmm.
50% say he shouldn't.
Yeah, because it's such a personal association for some guys that there's no right answer, because you're going to upset somebody, right? So it's easy to do what the Redskins have done and just kind of toe the line and unofficially retire it. Because if they retired it, then some people would go, well, somebody should be able to wear it again to honor Sean Taylor. And then if you don't, somebody wears it and they go, it should be retired so no one can be Sean Taylor again. It's a no-win type situation. It's why they've kind of, I think, in my opinion, walked the middle of the line for so many years about this.
The story was excellent. We want you guys to hear it if you missed it. The press conference is at 2 o'clock. This was Landon Collins being presented that game-worn jersey from Dan Snyder.
So last night was at DC Prom. the steak restaurant, and there was a box on the table. As I walked in, he said, "That's for you." So I thought I was about to open it right then and there. He said, "No, no, not yet. I want your mom and son and your girl and to be here." So I said, "All right, cool." So all my family gets there, right? So I was like, "All right, so can't open the box now." So I'm pushing the issue to try to get to open the box. It was in the box. It was the box. So I said, so I asked my son, "Do you want to open the box?" He said, "Yeah." So Mrs. Snyder stood up and told me the deal behind the box, what was inside the box. So he gave me the feeling, the passion. You could feel it in the talk, that why he felt so strongly about the jersey that was in the box. And as soon as he finished his story about his love, his story behind Sean and the brotherhood, the, if you could say, fatherlyhood, it was breathtaking. It was emotional. And when he told me that the jersey was in the box, signed by Sean Teller, it was a game-worn jersey. And then on top of that, it was one of his last two that he has of Sean. It took my breath away. It broke me down. I was emotional. Couldn't touch the box when he handed it to me. I didn't want to touch the box. I couldn't move a limb. I couldn't do nothing. I was just shaking, all right? So my son grabbed the box and started opening it and ripping up the papers that was in it and took the jersey out. I couldn't touch the jersey. I was just in awe. I was emotional, in tears. It took me about a good 30 minutes to really recuperate. And at that moment, I still didn't touch the jersey after I recuperated. I couldn't eat at the moment. I'm just looking at the jersey, staring. And it was honor. And I appreciate that from Mrs. Snyder. And honestly, I thank him for it. And I see that he knows, and I think he knows that I honor that jersey, and I'm going to just do as much as I can and be as much as I can within myself, but manipulate Sean's game and passion for him and for myself when I can play on this field.
Landon Collins, as just heard minutes ago here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
Hard not to be moved by that. I will tell you.
That's a rare glimpse, too, into the non-villain version of Dan Snyder we never really hear about.
And this, it's going to come across in a very cynical way, what I'm about to say, so stay with me.
Oh, boy.
Everybody's got, not everybody, many people have that kind of story. When Dan Snyder wants to make a good impression, he can. He's done these sorts of things before, like where he'll step up for someone's charity cause or facilitate something where, hey, my such-and-such relative is sick, and here's the plane, no questions asked, Redskins won. He's capable of doing wonderful deeds. That is a wonderful thing. He gave a gift that is going to mean a ton to the recipient.
No better way to start that relationship with Landon Collins.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the whole interview, go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. You may want to wait until about 2:30 or so because the press conference is going to be aired live at the top of the hour right here on 106.7 The Fan. Then we've got Virginia Tech basketball because they won their tournament game yesterday.
Go Hokies.
The ACC tourney rolls along. And then after that, Chad Dukes versus the world later on this evening. If you missed any part of today's show, go to thefandc.com. You can go vote at Grant H. Paulson on my poll, by the way. Should Landon Collins wear number 21? 542 votes in these first few minutes. 50% say honor him, wear 21. 50% say nobody should wear 21. We're Grant and Danny, thanking you for listening to The Fan.
Go Hokies next. It is Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. Spring, she's a hit. And the temperatures are getting warmer. Are your windows tough to open? Are they cracked? Are they drafty? All signs that you need new windows. Spring into action, meow, for huge Window Nation savings. Here's the deal. You get two free windows for every two you buy. You buy four, you get four. You get the idea. There's no limit. Plus, and this is nice, get a house of windows for only $69 a month.
Not only do you get two free windows for every two you buy, but also brand new energy efficient Window Nation windows installed for $2 a day. Think about that. Less than a cup of coffee, a gallon of gas or milk. Now is the time to take advantage of this limited time event. Window Nation offers over 1,500 custom window and door style combinations designed and engineered to tame our wild weather conditions in the area. All with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Just doesn't get any better. Buy two windows, get two free, no limit. Plus, Full House of Windows, $69 a month. Hurry, as this offer does not last long. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Tell them Grant and Danny too.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.